The past few weeks, we have been, our messages have been revolved around Christmas, the Christmas theme. Last week, we did talk about Joseph and how God used this man, Jesus' stepdad, and how the Lord was glorified through his life. And this week, we're going to talk about Jesus' mother, Mary, and how God used her in a miraculous fashion. And what a blessing it is to for us to even reflect upon it 2,000 years later and what God did in their lives. We're going to begin reading in verse number 46, Luke chapter 1, verse number 46. This passage has been referred to several things, the hymn of Mary, or Mary's Magnificat. It is indeed a prayer. It is indeed a song of praise to the Almighty. And that's what we will be looking at this morning with the Lord's help. Let's just begin reading there in verse number 46, and I'll read through verse number 55. The Bible says here in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." With the Lord's help this morning, I want to preach a message to you entitled this, "The Merry Heart of Mary." The Merry Heart of Mary. Let's pray together. Father, I do want to praise your holy name this morning. Thank you for the children. Lord God, what a blessing it was to see those little ones up there just smiling and singing to the Lord God. And Father, I'm praying that you would just continue to bless in our effort to exalt you. Tonight we will be having our Christmas program, as you well know. And God, I just pray that you would guide us, empower us, and may the Lord Jesus be exalted. And even this morning, Lord Jesus, I'm praying that you would be high and lifted up. Thank you for all those that have come to worship. I pray that they would be encouraged and strengthened in their faith, and that will leave here worshiping the Savior. Lord God, I do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We see here very clearly that Mary's heart is filled with praise. We've been singing this morning the praises of God, and Mary's hymn here was doing just that. You'll remember the context. She has been with her cousin Elizabeth. And of course, she had been residing there for a short period, and Elizabeth had been talking about how her babe, John the Baptist, had leaped with joy even in the womb. And after Elizabeth said her bit and testified of what she was experiencing, immediately following that, we have this account. Mary just truly, I've heard one author say, just breaks out in song. Just goes into a spirit and song of praise. If we, as God's people, are going to have a merry heart, a joyful heart, a heart filled with joy, we must have the heart of Mary. Because Mary here shows that she had a heart for God. And that is the Lord's will for us this morning. It is indeed for us to have a heart for Him. You see, in these 10 verses that we just read together, Mary exclaims the praise of God, and she thinks upon the greatness of her Son and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we're going to see the heart of Mary. We also see the mind of Mary. We see the whole being of Mary. You know, I like what A.W. Tozer said one time. He said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes to mind when you think of God is the most important thing about you. And when we look at the heart and mind of Mary this morning, we're going to see a heart for God. And my prayer is that when we leave here today, if we don't already, that we too will have a heart for God. You see, what caused Mary to break out in this song? What caused her to sing with these praises that truly exudes gratitude and awe? It is the very fact that she recognizes that she has been chosen to bear the baby who would one day bear her sin on the cross of Calvary. Oh yes, she was going to give birth to the Messiah, the Savior of the world. It is no doubt that one of the greatest blessings of Mary's life is that she would be a vessel used of God to bring forth His Son. However, I believe the superior truth that went through her mind in this song and which consumed her heart was that God would save her soul. I believe that in her heart and mind, of course she was excited about being that vessel and that person that God chose, that woman, that virgin that God chose, of course. But my friends, I am convinced that what could truly overwhelmed her was the thought that God would save a sinner like her. I'll prove that to you from the Scriptures. And that is exactly why we should have a heart of praise. It is primarily and foundationally because God would look upon us with compassion and love and pity and kindness. Oh, the Christmas spirit is a spirit of praise and adoration of the mighty God of heaven. That He would do that for us. I have 2 points this morning. And you might get excited about that, but those points are each very long. Okay, so let's get started. The first point is, I want us to see Mary's heart of praise. Verses 46 and 47, as we do see her heart. Look there with me. It says there, and we need to pay attention to the words. Words, of course, we know are super important in Scriptures because they are each inspired by God. So first of all, we see here that she says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Now, I'm not going to try to spend a lot of time on this because I do want to get through the message and be back in time for the cantata tonight, all right? But what I do want to see here, first of all, is her soul. What is this that she's referring to? Well, it's the Greek word psuche. It simply means breath. It means life. In fact, it's where we get our English word psychology. It is derived from this word, and we see that it is speaking of the very being of who she is. And that is Mary saying her soul does what? The Bible said her very being is magnifying the Lord. What does this simply mean? And by the way, the tense of this verb is a present tense with continuous action. This is something that she practiced daily, not just right here in this portion of Scripture, but it was her life. Her life was a praise to the Almighty. Now, was she perfect in that? No. Neither are we. But who she was one who wanted to give praise to God continuously. This word soul here is the same word, except in the Hebrew form, of course. It's the same word used in Psalm 103:1, a very familiar psalm. It says this, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. That is exactly what Mary is doing here. Her whole being is giving praise to the Lord God Almighty. What does magnify mean? What does this whole being do to the Lord? It simply magnifies Him. This word magnify means to celebrate. It means to esteem highly. It means to make conspicuous, to make very clear to the world that there's no doubt that that girl right there loves Jesus. Wouldn't that be a great testimony for all of us? Not that we're some perfect person. People realize we have faults, yes, but one thing they could say is that individual praises Jesus. Oh, may the Lord help us to have that testimony. But we see that it was who she was. She was one who was set on praising the Almighty. But then we see her, secondly, not only her soul was magnifying the Lord, but the Bible says her spirit rejoices in the Lord. Look at there in your Bibles, verse 47. And my spirit, she says, hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Now, her spirit, again, that Greek word is pneuma, okay, where we get our English word pneumatic. It speaks of the movement of air, but it also speaks of that part of God who we know we are made in the image of God, and God is spirit, okay? The Bible says God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we see here that she is talking about that part of her that connects with God. By the way, this is a testimony that she knew Jesus. Because nobody can and truly and authentically and rightly worship and praise God without the Holy Spirit. You have to be able to rightly praise God. You must praise Him in spirit. And that is what she is doing. She is a child of His, and I believe she is praising Him because He saved her. Do you see, we realize this, the people in the Old Testament got saved just like we do today. All right? The same way. You say, how do you figure that? Jesus hadn't died yet. Well, I know that, but they believed He was going to die. They believed that Messiah would come and die for their sins. They looked forward, we look back. Amen? Same way through the cross. And Mary was marveling in the wonderful salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ, who dwelt in her womb, would come to this earth and walk on this earth and live a life of perfection and would die for her sins. And not only for her sins, but praise God for the sins of Brinson Jennings and for the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. She had a song of praise. She rejoiced. And I tell you another thing that's interesting about this word rejoice. It's not the same verb tense as magnify. The word rejoice here is in the aorist tense in the verb. And that does make a difference in understanding the meaning of it. It actually carries the idea of a point in time in the past that happened, which is also evidence that she is referring to an experience in her life. Now, some could say, well, it was the experience that she received about the news that she was going to give birth to the Messiah. Possibly. But it is my conviction, according to her saying, my Savior, is she was looking back to the time that she believed upon the Messiah. Oh, my friends, do you often reflect back to the time that you received the Lord? Do you sometimes just try to take a few minutes or however long and just reflect back to what God did for you? It doesn't matter about how you were saved in the sense of where you were or how old you were. Some would think that, oh, I have a better testimony than others. No. No way. Oh, may we think about our Savior as Mary thought about her Savior. She was overjoyed. This word rejoice in the text means simply to be overjoyed. And it was in God my Savior. I want to emphasize that for a minute. Because, as I've mentioned already, Mary knew that she was a sinner. You see, the Immaculate Conception taught by the Catholic Church, quite frankly, is a false doctrine. What do they teach? It teaches that God preserved the Virgin Mary from the taint of original sin from the moment she was conceived. Listen, that's not true. Mary never ceased being a sinner. All right? She had the sin nature. And God died for that sin nature. And there's no doubt about that because she cried out to God, her Savior. Mary understood well that she, what she was deserving of. And she came the same way. Bless the Lord that you came, hopefully, and that I came the way of the cross. And if you haven't experienced that, if you have not come by the way of the cross, I want to tell you today is your day. God is knocking on your door. He's saying, I love you. Stop trying to do it in your own way. You might be trying to do it through various ways, but God says, come my way, the way of the cross. And so we see Mary's heart of praise. It was a personal praise. For the remaining of our time, we're going to go to point number two. We see not only Mary's heart of praise, but we see Mary's reason for praise. Praise is a wonderful thing. I hope we do that often, not just when we come to church. I hope you praise God in your car. I hope you praise God in your home. I hope you praise God everywhere you go. May a song be in your heart. I know some of you are thinking, we're glad that sometimes the song stays in the heart. Amen. Especially if you've heard me sing. We know that praise is a wonderful, mighty thing. What was Mary's reason for praise? You need to look again how important words are. Look at verse 48. It begins with the word for. That is a conjunction giving reason. This is the reason she's praising God. Not only because is Jesus her personal Savior. And God is almighty and she's going to magnify Him. But these are a list of reasons that she is going to give. And we're going to look at those, hopefully briefly. I wish we could spend time on each one of the aspects. And maybe I will one day. Maybe we'll come back and preach this a couple months. But the fact of the matter is, she's going to go through and just give many reasons why she is magnifying and rejoicing in the Lord God. It's always a good thing to praise. Even when you hear about a story that I heard about recently, about a man who was trying to teach his horse to obey, to start and stop on command. Now, this was a religious man. He was a fairly religious man. And he went about doing this in an interesting fashion. In fact, the way he went about doing this is he decided to use the commands for starting and stopping to use religious terms. And so the two terms, the phrases that he picked were praise the Lord. And that meant that the horse was to come to a stop. That was the start. And to stop, the phrase was hallelujah. So you had praise the Lord, okay, for going. And hallelujah for stopping. Well, one day his horse was riding and got out of control. He took off and the man lost control of his horse and forgot his words. You've been there, things you know well, but you get in the heat of a moment and it just your mind goes blank. We've all been there. So this man's on this horse and this horse is taken off and he's starting to panic. He can't think of the key words that the horse is going to respond to. Well, up ahead was a cliff. The man's in trouble. And the horse was headed there full speed. The man tried thinking of every religious word he had ever heard of. Amen! Jesus saves! Glory! Worthy! Nothing was working. The horse kept going full speed. And just as the horse approached the precipice, the man shouted out, Hallelujah! And boy, that horse came to a screeching halt. And he said, whew, praise the Lord. It's always good to praise the Lord, even if you've given horses some strange commands on doing that. Well, we see here, Mary has every reason to praise the Lord. Do you know in this passage, she gives no less than 22 references to God Almighty. Just in those 10 verses, she gives no less than 22 references to the Lord God Almighty. The emphasis and the purpose of her praise is no doubt directed to the Almighty God. I like what Robert Murray McShane said. Give unlimited credit to our God. I like what A.W. Pink said. He said, praising and adoring God is the noblest part of the saints' work on earth. Why? One of the reasons, as it will be his chief employ in heaven. Praising God. for the sake of time, I'm not going to expound on each of these points, but I do want to point them out. I want to briefly look at each of them. Let's look at them together. We're going to go quickly, okay? Look there at verse 48. Number one, we see that she is praising God for His interest in her life. Look at what He says here. Look what she says, excuse me. She says, "For He hath regarded." That means He was interested in her life. He looked with interest and pity. And boy, I don't know about you, but that just does something to my soul. That God was interested in me. I have nothing to offer God. No good thing do I have for the Lord God Almighty, the Messiah. Neither do you. But God, who is rich in mercy, came after us aggressively with His Spirit to convict us and to draw us because He cared. And Mary realized that. He regarded me. This poor girl. This poor, poor peasant girl. God hath looked at me. And my poverty, who am I? But she says, God hath regarded me. And that should do something to your soul today. Sometimes I think in our Christianity, we almost get to the point where God found something good when He found us. That's pride. Oh no. He found a big spot of sin when He found us. A mess! I was a mess. And so were you. And so was Mary. She was a mess in her heart, but God found her, and then God chose her to be a vessel after He had saved her, and we are grateful. And she sees that in verse 48. She also praises God, and secondly in verse 48, for the blessing. Look there. It says, not only has He regarded her in her low estate, but henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Now notice the emphasis is not on Mary. She's not trying to get attention to herself. She's just stating the fact that, look, I get to be a testimony of God's grace. God did something in my life, and I'm thankful that it's going to bring glory to His name. And look what we're doing here this morning. Over 2,000 years later, here we are together, gathered together in this church, speaking of the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ and looking at the testimony of His mother, Mary. She gave glory to God. She praised Him. She had been chosen and used of the Lord. And that is something to praise Him for, because we have nothing to offer. Everything He's given us, it is because of His goodness. But not only that, look at verse 49. Look at verse number 49. She says, for He that is mighty hath done to me what, church? Great things, and holy is His name. There's a song on the coffee CD. That I listen to often, and it has that phrase in there. I don't even know if that's the name of the song, but He is mighty, hath done a great thing. That is one of my favorites on that album, the Coffee CD, Just As I Am. And He truly has. He's done great things, and she gave Him the glory. Can I ask you something as a reminder? If you are here as a blood-bought child of God, do you look to God as doing great things for you? Oh, yes. Listen. Let it come from the heart and say, praise God, He has. He has done a wonderful work. He has done a mighty thing. And then she praised Him for His holiness there in verse 49 again. She praised Him because He's holy and He's righteous. You know, listen, I don't have any problems. And if you've been here any time period, you know my heart on this. I believe we ought to praise God for His grace, His mercy, and His love. No doubt about it. But may we never forget about His holiness. Sometimes I believe some churches overemphasize His holiness, and that's all they want to talk about, and they leave out the grace and mercy and love of God. But then there are some churches, that's all they want to talk about is the mercy and the grace. Hey, listen, if we're going to be complete, we need to talk about both of them. And Mary understood God's mercy, but she also understood God's holiness. He is the Almighty Righteous One. And anybody born into this world has got to be saved from their sin because God is holy. Praise the Lord for that. Not only do we see she praising him for his holiness, but also his mercy in verse 50. And then verse 51, she praises him for his strength. Look at there. He has showed strength with his arm. How has he shown that? He has shown that through scattering the proud. That speaks of his God's protection. She goes on to verse 52 and talks about putting down the mighty. Talks about his protection. Aren't you thankful for God's protection? I don't know who I was talking to recently. Several situations I'm aware of, speaking of God's protective hand in their lives. No, we were talking about it in Sunday school. That's right, Brother Andrew. All four of us, Brother Ricky and Scott and Andrew and myself, we were just talking about how all of us not only deserve to be in prison, but we deserve to be in hell. We should. I know several times that I can look back that I should have died as a lost person. I remember them vividly. I should have died. But God in His mercy saved me. And He protected me by that. And He's protected each of us. And I'm thankful for God's protection in our lives. And she exalted Him for that. You know, she's going to see that even more and more in the days ahead, won't she? Won't Mary see the protective hand of God? Her husband could have called her out on the carpet. She could have been stoned. The leaders, the religious leaders. I mean, you go down the list. The devil was after her, and the devil is after us. But can I assure you here, friend, God Almighty is protecting you. Do not be afraid. Do not fear for your life. God is watching over you. In fact, He even sends His personal agents. They're called angels. There might even be one sitting in this room. Who knows? Well, maybe not. Nah, just kidding. Y'all are sweet. But the truth is, God is protecting us. And we need to give Him glory for that day in and day out. Are you thanking God for His protection? Moving quickly here. Verse 52, she says, "You exalt, Lord, them of low degree." What does that speak of? It speaks of God's compassion. It goes on to say in verse number 53, "He hath filled the hungry with good things." What does that speak of? His compassion. God's a compassionate God. He looks upon us, and I'm grateful today. And I think of Christmas, I think of compassion. I hope you do too. Look at there in verse number 53. Verse number 53, it talks about here the rich. What has He done with the rich? He hath sent them away empty. What is that speaking of? Well, I think it's speaking of a couple things. It's my opinion that He is speaking of compassion, and He's also speaking of judgment. But why you say, why compassion? Because this, I believe if someone's rich and God brings emptiness in their life, you know what that can cause? Them to look to God. Because I believe there are scores of people in our world today who are convinced they don't need God. They have everything in the world. But God, in His mercy, many times will start bringing stuff away. He'll bring sickness. He'll bring a circumstance. And they will feel empty, and hopefully, and it's God's will, that they turn to Him. Hey, listen. God is compassionate, and Mary is praising Him for that. But not only that, look at verse 54. Excuse me. She praises Him for His help. This old English word here, hopen. It does mean the word help, but I'll tell you this, it means more than just help. This literally carries the idea of being physically grabbed and picked up. That's the strength of that word, hoping. God Almighty, in His mercy and compassion, and with His children, He does that. He will actually put His omnipotent, holy hands upon our lives personally. Aren't you glad God puts a personal touch on your life? Everybody in here has the handprints of God upon their life. And the best thing we can do is recognize it this morning and give Him the glory. Oh yes, my friend. You see the richness of Mary's hymn here. Mary's song of praise. But then she goes on. Look at verse 55. She says, "He spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed." What is she talking about there, church? She's talking about the fulfilled promises that God made by sending the Lord Jesus. The seed of the woman, the Messiah that would come. She is giving recognition to that. Mary's praise was the fulfillment of God's promise. She remembers that book of in Genesis, that portion of Genesis in chapter 22, verse 18, where it says, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." And on down the line, we could look at Isaiah, we could look at the prophets, we could look at her fathers, all the ones that gave testimony of the coming Messiah, the promise of God. Hey, listen, I don't know about you this morning, but we need to marvel in the promises of God. God's faithfulness to your life and to my life. God's faithfulness to this local church. What God promises us through His Word, we can claim with authority. We can claim with assurance and confidence. And we know that He'll bring it to pass, just like He did with His Savior. Hey, He is risen, just like He said. Our God is faithful. And she is worshiping the Lord God for His faithfulness. You may think, "Pastor, you just don't realize what I'm going through right now." You're right. I probably don't. But I can tell you this with assurance. God is faithful. He will not forsake you. He is faithful to His Word. And if you're His child, He will not forsake you. He will chasten you, but He will not forsake you. Oh, our God is faithful. I like what C.H. Spurgeon said. "Brothers and sisters, the very best work which we ever do on earth is to adore. You are blessed in prayer, but you are seven times blessed in praise." C.H. Spurgeon. I like what Thomas Watson said. "Though nothing can add to God's essential glory, yet praise exalts Him in the eyes of others." And that's the point, church. It's all to get glory to Him. It's all to magnify Him. Everything what we do in this life is to bring glory to Him. That helps me avoid legalism, because legalism says you have to keep all these rules just to be keeping all these rules, okay? All these steps and whatever. No. The reason I do right is not just to keep a list of rules. The reason I do right is because I want God to be magnified. I want glory to come unto Jesus. That's the purpose of righteous living. It's not for me to boast about. It's not for me to be in bondage about. No, it's for me to have a childlike faith that I just want Jesus to be glorified. Some of you are familiar with the name Ebenezer Scrooge. He was the main character in Charles Dickens' classic, A Christmas Carol. Mr. Scrooge had some issues. Now, I'll go ahead and preface in case I get any emails. I know that's not a Christian film, okay? But for sake of illustration, Mr. Scrooge had some real issues. He was indeed a Scrooge. He was indeed grumpy. He was indeed mean-spirited, ungrateful, stingy. Oh, yes, that's him. And he, interestingly enough, painted an interesting picture for us this morning when it comes to our praise to God, but especially around this time of year. Now, before I move forward here in this part of the message, I do want to tell you that I am definitely sensitive that this time of year can be one of the most difficult times of year. Where we have lost loved ones, where we have gone through tragic times, where we deal with loneliness in many ways, and God doing things in our life and things happening that we can't always explain. I want you to know I'm sensitive to that. But I do want you to know it is nothing that God in His supernatural grace and power cannot come in and through you and allow you to give praise to the Almighty. You see, this Ebenezer Scrooge, he had nothing to be thankful for. He didn't want to give thanks. And I'm reminded of this one scene in that book. It was when his little nephew came up to him and greeted him. And this is what the nephew would say. And this is Ebenezer Scrooge's response. The little nephew says, "A Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you," cried a cheerful voice. It was the voice of Scrooge's nephew, who came upon him so quickly that this was the first intimation he had of his approach.
Bah! Said Scrooge. Humbug!
He had so heated himself with rapid walking in the fog and frost, the nephew of Scrooge, that he was all in a glow. His face was shining, and his eyes sparkled, and his breath smoked again, and he said this, Christmas a humbug, Uncle? Said Scrooge's nephew. You don't mean that, I am sure. Listen to the response. Scrooge, I do. Merry Christmas? What right have you to be merry? What reason have you to be merry? I think about that scene right there. Here's the application. For the Christian, we have every reason to be happy. For the Christian, we have every right to be merry and to be praising God Almighty for His Son, Jesus Christ. And that was the heartbeat and the life of Sister Mary, the mother of Jesus. How is your heart or your soul or who you are today? We use that remark. We even use it in the realm of making excuses. That's just who I am. What does somebody mean when they say that? It means who they are, their being. And what we want is our being to be a praise to the Almighty. How is your soul today? Is your life magnifying the Lord? Is it rejoicing in your Savior? Oh, what about for the blessings He has freely bestowed upon you as Mary would go and continually adore Him with? And not only for what God has done, but church, who God is. Praising Him. He is God in the flesh who came, was born in a manger, and would live this earth and shed His precious holy blood for us. I wonder this morning if there's not someone here that you'd say, Pastor, I've been in church, I've heard the Christmas story, but I do not believe I've ever been saved. I don't believe that I have a relationship with Christ. In fact, this thing of the Spirit, I don't know that I have God's Spirit living in me. If that's something you're unsure of, I'm not condemning you, but what I am telling you, you can get that matter settled today. If there's a lady here that's questioning whether or not she knows Christ, there are ladies here that can take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Maybe there's a man here. You're in doubt right now. You're insecure. I don't know if I have this. I can't truly praise God because I don't even know if I have it. Can I tell you today? God wants you to have it, and we can take someone. I will even take you. Brother Mike can take over the service, open up the Bible, and show you how you can be saved. Listen, during the invitation time, if you're here without Christ, I invite you to come. And I'll tell you the truth. If you're here with Christ, I invite you to come. Maybe there's someone here today, quite frankly, you're in the spirit of Mr. Scrooge. You say you know Christ, and you claim to love Him. But quite frankly, you are just ungrateful. You are a complainer. And you are living in a life that is in bondage to that. You're like those chains that we find in that classic. Can I tell you, get those chains off. God will knock them off, no problem. God will forgive you for that spirit. He will give you a renewed spirit. And you will truly be able to enjoy the Christmas spirit. I'm here to tell you. Christian, please don't live that way. Magnify the Lord Jesus. He's worthy. Let's pray together.